The following special feature of WKQK Radio 1300 is pre-recorded.
This is a rebroadcast of the Brevard at Large program from December 6th, 2020, featuring Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network.
It's time once again for Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large, where we meet various guests and discuss issues and items of interest to all of us here on the Space Coast. My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are very pleased to welcome back as our guest Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network. Welcome, Mr. Robinson.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I'm very, very honored to be back.
I know that you have been our guest previously on the Brevard at Large program, and we know from that previous interview that you yourself are a veteran. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your service?
Yeah, thank you. So I joined the Army after 9/11. I was in college, and 9/11 happened, and I graduated college and went out and enlisted. I eventually got opportunity to go to Officer Candidate School, became an officer, and then after that, I was infantry officer, and I got a chance to go to Ranger School, so I got a Ranger tab or an Airborne tab. Following that, I deployed twice to Iraq, where I was wounded once, and I received sort of the award, a couple Bronze Stars and an Army Commendation Medal for Valor. Following my time in the Army, I got out and used the GI Bill and went to the University of Florida for law. So I graduated University of Florida, and then I became a prosecutor. And then after my time as a prosecutor, I went out and went into private practice, and I'm a partner now with the law firm of Eisminger, Robinson, Blau, and Peters here in Brevard County.
Well, thank you for your service. Did you ever, when you were growing up, did you anticipate that you would go into the military?
Not really. You know, I think maybe as a kid, I sometimes had some thoughts about it or dressed up as a soldier for Halloween, but I never gave it any serious thought. I never did ROTC or prepare myself for going in the military. It was just something that I felt compelled to do after 9/11.
And did you ever consider making it a career?
I did for a period of time. There was parts of it that I really did like. The Army is it's a very tough life, but it's a very gratifying life. But you know, there was other things that I wanted to do as well. I wanted to raise a family and be able to spend kind of more time doing other stuff. So that's why I eventually decided to get out.
Well, that's one thing that I think perhaps a lot of people don't think about with respect to persons in the military, how difficult it is on the families of the military personnel, because sometimes their loved one is deployed and so away from home, and they're raising the children all by themselves. Sometimes the service member comes home and says, well, I'm now stationed halfway across the world, and we either have to move or we have to figure out what to do. Isn't that fair to say?
It's a very fair comment. It's a very tough life, obviously, on the service members, but also on the families. You think about it, a spouse, you know, is pretty much left alone to raise the kids on his or herself. Even when you're not deployed, many times you're either coming back from deployment, which means that you're basically getting all your gear reconstituted, getting it fixed and repaired for your next deployment. And then after that, you're training for your next deployment, which usually involves going out to various training areas for long periods of time. So even when servicemen and women are not deployed, they are still away from their families. And then obviously, then they turn around and get shipped out again.
And yet some couples, both of them are in the service, and that's got to be extremely difficult, particularly if they're in different places at the same, you know, at any point in time.
You know, I can't even imagine how they do it. There was some people I knew who did that, and I just really, my hat's off to them, because it just the amount of planning that probably had it, that was involved with that, and it's just a really difficult, and I imagine just added a tremendous amount of stress on an already stressful situation.
Well, Brevard County seems to be an area where there's a very large veteran population. Why would you say that is, Mr. Robinson?
Well, I think some of it naturally is just because of the base. You know, we have NASA, but we actually have Patrick Air Force here, and I think that attracts a large number of people. I think that not only from the Air Force, but we have DOMI and a couple other projects that go on here that bring in members from the other services. And I think a lot of times what happens is once it comes time for somebody to retire, I think people who've spent time in the Army or in the military want to be near a base, because there are certain things you can get on base and for purposes of health care. And they probably look at Brevard County and see this is a very beautiful area and a very safe area, and it's a calm area, and it's has probably everything who somebody is retiring or getting out of the military is looking for.
And it's not just the Air Force. There's also the Navy has a presence in Brevard County, as does the Coast Guard. Isn't that right?
That is correct. So Brevard has a very, very large military presence, both active military, retired, and former.
And Brevard County also has employment opportunities for veterans once they leave the service. There's a large defense contracting presence in Brevard County.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to come here. There is a lot of defense contractors, and they are looking for, you know, people with the skills that many of these veterans have, the understanding, the knowledge of how the military works. They also have, various clearances that these contractors are working for. And so, you know, it's a good place for veterans to come back to.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners, what exactly is the Brevard Veterans Resource Network?
So it is actually a group of people who came together several years ago from a couple different veteran organizations. And one of the things that we noticed was Brevard County has a lot of services for veterans, charitable 501c3 organizations that purpose is to help veterans. The problem is that many of those organizations were not necessarily moving in the same direction, and there was not a whole lot of crosstalk between the organizations. So let's say, well, typically what happens when somebody has an issue, when a veteran has an issue, it's usually a multitude of issues. And it could be financial, it could be criminal, there could be family law issues, there could be transportation, there could be issues with food and keeping the lights on. And so what Brevard had was, programs that would maybe provide food. They had program, but that same program would not help with the electric bill. That same program would not maybe offer legal advice to somebody that had criminal problems. That same program may not offer advice on maybe legal issues involving families. And the list goes on and on. And so what we tried to do with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network is bring all those organizations together. So say, for example, if somebody were to reach out and actually use Brevard 211 as our base, they would get in touch with one of our veteran specialists, and this individual would sit down there and listen to the caller and begin to identify all the various needs and issues of the caller, and then begin to basically get in touch with our partner organizations to fulfill those needs. And what we're trying to do is provide a service to the whole veteran, the whole family, and fulfill all of those needs as best we can. Because before our organization, the veteran would just, they'd have to go contact these various agencies all by themselves. And I think it was just too much. It was too confusing. But this way, you know, a person, once they reach out to us and once we're in contact with them, they can focus on their situation, they can focus on their family, and let us work on the rest. Let us help them get through this time.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they're listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network. Well, so how does it work, Mr. Robinson? You mentioned 211. We assume that that's a telephone number, much like 911 or 311, that someone can call. Is that a number that's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
That is correct. It is a service. So Brevard 211 is generally an information service. You know, here in Brevard, it's a not for profit. And it's exactly what happens. You dial 211, and you would wind up speaking to a specialist. Once you reach it, you explain to them that hey, you're a veteran, and here are some of the issues, and you know, perhaps you're actually speaking to the specialist. If not, they will get you in contact with you know, our veteran specialist. And then from there, you know, what they do is it's a little more than depth this, but they begin to line you up with these various organizations. It's designed to try to have everything work as quickly as possible and in tandem, and so that, you know, we can get all these needs serviced as quickly and as efficiently as we can.
And is 211 reserved for veterans themselves and their families, or can anybody call 211?
So anybody can call 211, but we have a special part of 211 that is just dedicated to veterans and their families.
So if any of our listeners is a veteran and wanted to try to find out what services might be available, 211 would be the place to start and tell the operator, I'm a veteran.
That is correct. Now, additionally, if they don't want to call or they're not really comfortable calling, or perhaps they're more tech savvy, they can also go to www.211brevard.org. And then from there, there's a nice website. They have, a chat bot. You know, it's getting to be fairly, you know, technical, but from there, there's community services, there's a tab for veterans, and it's just another resource for somebody to go to maybe help them find solutions for their problems.
And what sorts of resources may be out there? There may be resources for if a veteran is in, for instance, he or she has lost her job or his job, and they need to see if there's any way to get help to try to avoid eviction. Would that be something, if the veteran started with 211, is that something that the Brevard Veterans Resource Network might be able to point that veteran in the right direction?
So that's something we could help with if the veteran is homeless. We can help them with that. You know, issues with health care, issues with mental health, food, housing, I mentioned that, employment. You know, we are tied in with various organizations that work to help veterans find jobs, to include CareerSource. I mean, the list is a very comprehensive list, and it's, you know, but I think one of the things you're talking about as well is to include legal. And there's something else that's tied in with Brevard 211, but with another program which deals with getting veterans pro bono legal assistance. Pro bono meaning free legal assistance.
Is that a new program that Brevard Veterans Resource Network is involved in?
Yep. So the VVRN is involved with it. The impetus for the start of this actual program came from the Brevard County Chief Judge Lisa Davidson, and she brought together a lot of attorneys and judges and veterans organizations in the county to include Natural Veterans Homeless Support, to include Brevard Legal Aid, Brevard 211, Brevard Veterans Resource Network. And her goal was to try and find a way where we could find, you know, civic-minded attorneys who want to help veterans, you know, especially now with what's going on with the pandemic and the economy, but trying to find veterans who would be willing to donate their time and energy and knowledge into helping veterans. And we do that through a couple different ways. One of the ways is just by putting on really quick seminars. So right now we have one that was done recently by a local attorney named Jeff Golub. And he did about a 6 or 7 minute presentation to inform you know, our veterans about what to do when you're facing a residential eviction, meaning that, you know, somebody has come to you, your landlord has come to you and is trying to kick you out of your apartment or kick you out of your house, so that you know, our veterans and our members kind of have an understanding of the process, and they know what their rights are, and they also know what their obligations are. And so all this is free of charge. It's on Facebook, and it can also be found at on the Natural Veterans Homeless Support website, which is nvhs.org.
So for this example with Mr. Golub, it was recorded, and you and a veteran can find it at either of those two places, the Facebook page, or tell us again.
You can find it on the Facebook page. You can find it on the website. I know many attorneys have shared it. And we're trying to get it out into as many different mediums and platforms as possible, so that people can get it and have access to it, and hopefully know, you know, what their rights are.
And are there other such seminars or training sessions that are planned in the future?
So we are working on those, and this time we have some other ideas. We have perhaps trying to. So some of the other things we're working on, I think the next big one is going to be, you know, family law issues. But that's so broad, we're probably going to have to break that down into several different parts. You know, from child support to divorces to paternity. But that way, veterans can understand and the process and what it means and what the laws are. And the hope is that by understanding this, you know, they can take steps to protect themselves in this case. And also, they're just, once you know the process, it doesn't necessarily seem as scary.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, people who are not, folks who are not lawyers, it seems overwhelming that sometimes that dealing with the court system. It's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It would be like me trying to fix a car. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I have to take it to a guy who knows how to fix a car. So, or, you know, a mechanic or a repair shop. I would just be overwhelmed. I have no idea. Well, I don't know why it's making this noise. You tell me why it's making the noise.
So then along with this, we are trying to also develop resources for attorneys to help out, to help out, you know, veterans and others, the community at large. So we're also, for example, Jeff Golub put on a CLE free. CLE is continuing legal education for attorneys, that basically instructed them on what they need to know to go and defend a residential eviction. And the hope is that by making, you know, educating more people, we make more attorneys who are capable of helping people. I put on a CLE about domestic violence injunctions last week, and I believe we had some other CLEs scheduled as well. And so again, we're trying to make more attorneys aware of and we educate more attorneys in the fields of law that we feel are going to impact veterans.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest once again is Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network. When you mentioned for our listeners that may not know the continuing legal education, lawyers are... at least Florida lawyers are required, and probably lawyers in many states, if not most states, are required to, in order to be able to continue to practice law, they have to get so many credits every so often in continuing legal education. Is that right, Mr. Robinson?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And so these CLE programs that the Brevard Veterans Resource Network is developing, have they been approved for credit with the Florida Bar?
They have. I know that the residential mortgage was approved, and we're waiting on approval for the CLE that I put on. And so all these programs are getting sent to the Florida Bar for approval. And like I said, the hope is that, you know, as we educate more and more attorneys on how to deal with these issues, there's a larger pool for veterans and the community at large to seek help from.
But it's sort of a win-win. The attorney gets the credit that he or she needs in order to satisfy the Florida Bar, and they also get some expertise that maybe might encourage them to go into a field that they might otherwise not practice in, and perhaps donate some of their time to help veterans.
That's it precisely. And then there's a third part of this, and in this third part we're also teaming up with Brevard Legal Aid and United Way to basically put on clinics inside the VA. And, you know, right here in Vieira, we have a local VA clinic, and we are planning on, through Brevard Legal Aid, periodically going to staff a licensed and accredited with the VA attorney who will be able to help veterans free of charge with many legal problems, well, veteran-only oriented problems. And maybe that's help with the character of their discharge. Sometimes that could be changed or amended. Perhaps they have questions about their benefits and whether benefits they're being denied benefits improperly, or other questions, you know, about their health care, whatever it may be. It's a very wide and diverse thing, but it is designed to specifically help veterans, and it'll be free.
Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned it may be possible to change a veteran's discharge status in some instances. Why would that be important?
Well, there are actually several different characterizations of discharge, and what everybody thinks of is you know, a honorable discharge. But there are discharges that are, you know, other than honorable. There are bad conduct. And then, gosh, my brain's drawn a blank. When somebody just flat out kicked out of the Army, and on some situations,
a dishonorable discharge.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know why my brain just blank on that, but on some situations, a person may get a discharge that can be upgraded. And, you know, one of the prime examples is that a person might be suffering from a severe mental health or physical issue and you know, act out on that or something, and you know, the command there doesn't recognize the issue, and then, you know, discharges him for a reason that probably the veteran had no control over. You know, one of the common examples is that if somebody starts having severe psychological problems, many times they turn to drugs and alcohol, and the basis for that is really self-medication and not so much a desire to flaunt the rules or to be bad, but it gets them into trouble. And many times the leadership doesn't understand what's going on or doesn't really recognize these issues and the veteran gets kicked out, when in reality it wasn't necessarily due to what we'd normally to consider, you know, somebody's bad intent. It was due to other issues.
And that if you get kicked out with less than an honorable discharge, that could affect the benefits that you might otherwise be entitled to, such as medical benefits and perhaps disability benefits, all of that?
That is correct. So based on the characterization of your discharge, it may affect a lot of things. It may affect your access to the VA. It could even affect your access to even non-VA programs like Veterans Treatment Court.
Let's talk about Veterans Treatment Court. We understand that you have some experience in that area. Tell our listeners exactly what Veterans Treatment Court is.
Yes, sir. So several years ago, the Florida legislature passed a law, and I think the intent behind this was they recognized that many of our veterans are coming back, and they are adjusting very badly to civilian life, and this is manifesting itself in people getting arrested for drug and alcohol crimes, or perhaps committing other crimes, or getting drawn into injunction court. And I think they begin to notice that really the issue with these criminal charges, again, wasn't necessarily this was a bad person, but it was somebody having some problems. And so in essence, Veterans Treatment Court is a rehabilitation court. And what we're doing is linking up with the VA and various other providers in the county. And a veteran who gets in trouble, if they are willing, if they're willing to seek treatment, if they're willing to get better, and the court allows them in, then they will get treated. They will literally go and see therapists. There will be psychological as well as medical intervention. Sometimes they get put on medication. They're monitored. They go through therapy. They go through a whole host of different courses that is based on a doctor's evaluation and recommendation. And additionally, usually there's a community service requirement, so they have to give back. But the focus of the program is ultimately to rehabilitate this individual, to determine, ultimately we look at the crime as a manifestation of the illness, try to determine what the illness is, and then get them better. And so far, and if they successfully complete the program, then those charges are dismissed.
So they wouldn't have a criminal record once they satisfactorily complete the program.
That is correct. And not only that, but they've been given a whole new lease on life. They've been given gone through a significant amount of therapy, significant amount of treatment, and hopefully they have learned ways to they can follow for the rest of their life on coping with some of these problems. The key benefit is that they are now linked in to the VA, because one of the prerequisites are that they have to sign up and enroll in the VA. So now they're in the system. They are shown how to access and to use the system. So if there's problems, they can always go back to the system. And I'll say so far, it's just been phenomenal. The recidivism rate, the amount of times that people actually reoffend, is minuscule. I think it's less than 5% or it's 2%, somewhere in there. Just amazingly minuscule. And so it's just been, a great, great program. And really, it's a phenomenal program put on by Brevard County judges and the VA. And so far, it's just getting great results.
And so again, it's another win-win situation. If the veteran is getting the help that he or she needs and they're not committing any future crimes, that's a benefit to society.
Oh, not only that, but they're back on the track of being a productive citizen.
Which is another benefit to society. Well, how are those services in the Veterans Treatment Court paid for?
It's paid for by the VA.
So it's not coming out of the veteran's pocket.
It's not coming out of the veteran's pocket. You know, there are certain times they may be drug tested and they'll pay for that, but otherwise, it's not coming out of the veteran's pocket. The treatment is paid for by the VA.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network. And before the station identification, we were talking about the Veterans Treatment Court and the reasons. Mr. Robinson touched a bit on reasons that veterans sometimes find themselves on the wrong side of the law. Tell us about that. For those of our listeners who maybe have never been in the military, tell us about the adjustment that goes on when someone leaves the military and re-enters civilian life.
Well, I guess I'll just take a step back then and explain how somebody is actually introduced into the military. And I think most people have seen it probably in movies, or matter of fact, many may have experienced it themselves. But, you know, the Army or the military brings you in, and they spend a lot of time, energy, and money to make you work as part of a team. And so, you know, that's a part of the point of basic training, is that you know, for the moment you go in, you're really never away from anybody, your friends, your platoon mates, you name it, your squad mates, for any length of time. And so they're always there. Everybody's there. Everything you do is a part of a team. Whenever you have a problem or an issue, there's always people there with you. And it's what you begin to learn to rely on for everything.
So, that's important for an efficiently functioning military, that everybody has to be on the same page, everybody has to be practicing as a team, and that the individuals are not as important as the team. Is that true?
That is correct. Everything, you know, the Army is, it's the goal is you're trying to get, you know, it all works in the same theory. You know, if you're at a small level, you're trying to get five people to move in the same direction. And if you're at a larger level, you're trying to get 5,000 people to move in the same direction. And that's everything that is built around the Army, is you're working together as a team to achieve whatever it is that has to get done. And that is what you live every second of every day while you're in the military. However, whenever it comes time for somebody to get out of the military, there's not a basic training for reacclimating yourself. And so many times I think what happens is, you know, you have veterans, let's say, well, first of all, you have military members who go out and they're in combat. And you, when you're in combat, these become your brothers, your sisters, your family. And you go through a whole bunch of very stressful events. And so what we're learning now is that stress has an effect on an individual and how individuals process information and how they identify, you know, what is a stressor event and what's not a stressor event. And that's what we believe is one of the causes of the manifestation of PTSD. But then on top of that, these individuals who, you know, have been around, you know, all these people are now separated from their family. I mean, even though they come back and you are with maybe your mom or your dad or your wife or somebody else, it in a lot of ways is just, it's not the same thing. And so you now find yourself in what's a different world. In many ways, it's kind of an alien world. Civilian life is different from military life, and it is very difficult for a lot of people to adjust. You had a very regimented life where, you know, you were told what to do, where to go, and how to do things, and now all that's done. And I think what eventually happens is that this leads to a great deal of fear. The fear leads to a great deal of anxiety. That leads to anger. That leads to frustration. And eventually, I think without help, people then turn to drugs or alcohol to do simple things like even go to sleep at night. And it builds and it builds. And I think eventually sometimes we run into where, you know, something boils over. Somebody loses their temper. Somebody loses control. Even sometimes they have just a complete psychological break. And many times when that happens, they wind up finding themselves in the criminal justice system. They are arrested. They are taken to jail. And it essentially, what normally happens, instead of, you know, calming down, it just exacerbates the problem. If a guy has a family, he is now told he cannot go near his kids, he cannot go back to his house, and it just takes a bad incident and just makes it worse. And I think that's what the legislature and what some of our members in the criminal justice system were seeing. And I think that's part of the reason why they created this law, this Veterans Treatment Court.
Would you agree that there's for many veterans returning to civilian life, there's a sense of loss because they have lost their families. The veterans who were serving with them, the military members who were serving with them, they were their family.
Oh, I agree. You know, they have done. You know, we are, you know, at heart we're mammals, and they've done studies on animals such as elephants, and they have found that if you take an elephant out of its one family and put it to another, things don't usually go well. The elephants have problems adjusting, and they act many times very aggressively. And I think, you know, on a similar scale, I think it happens with humans. You have people who literally every day, every minute you are around these people, the people who you trust above all others, and now they're gone. I think, you know, to a certain degree, you know, that's one of the things you rely on when you go into combat, is you're like, well, this is scary, but I'm doing it with people that I trust. And when you get out, you know, you don't have that anymore.
And also, would you agree that it's true that in some, at least some branches of the military, there's this sort of feeling that you don't really display your emotions that much. You internalize everything because it's kind of frowned upon to let those emotions out.
Well, I think that, I can only guess for, you know, other branches, but I can say in the Army, yeah, it was not necessarily okay to say, listen, I need to go speak to a doctor about, you know, some of these issues that I'm having. You know, if it's like, well, I'm not sleeping at night, then the Army's response is, well, you know, tough. Obviously, we're not working you hard enough, because if we work you hard enough, you'll have no problem sleeping.
Right, and I mean, there does seem to be that. There's a stigma of letting those emotions out, and seems to me anyway, and I'm not a doctor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but if you keep bottling things up, sooner or later bad things happen.
I think that sums it up very, very succinctly. I think that you know, going back, we were talking about a little while ago about some of the physiological change that on the brain that stress creates. I think we're learning that the longer you take to deal with it, the harder it is to fix. You know, the same as maybe smoking or anything else. You know, the longer you smoke, the harder it is to quit. And you know, for the most part, we know now that a lot of that deals with you know, the physiological, but also the psychological dependence that people have on it, smoking.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network. And along those same lines, Mr. Robinson, one of the very sad things that we hear is an increase of suicide among veterans, it's a large problem. Can the Brevard Veterans Resource Network assist someone who's feeling helpless, a veteran who's feeling helpless like that and who feels like it's my life is not worth living anymore?
So they can. And so probably one of the best places to contact would be Brevard 211. The VA also has a hotline. I don't have that here in front of me. But one of the best places I would always suggest is you start with Brevard 211 because there's some different options. What I've heard from people is that they're actually very happy with the way Brevard 211, our veteran specialist, helps people. It seems to get a better response rather than, you know, dialing a national hotline. But anytime somebody is feeling that way, you know, they have to get some type of help. I think people need to understand this is not necessarily a weakness. It is literally a part of your brain that is misfiring, that is not working correctly. And it's imperative they get in front of somebody who can talk to them and maybe explain to them the feelings that they're having and perhaps why they're having those feelings.
And can someone, if a veteran call is having feelings like that and the veteran calls 211, can they immediately be referred to somebody that can try to, obviously, once the decision is made to commit suicide, you can't take it back. So it's important that it be addressed immediately.
Well, everything that when somebody calls 211, it is confidential. But what will happen is that they'll get referred to a hotline. I cannot remember. My brain is going blank. But they will be referred to a The VA definitely has one, but there's a couple of other ones that they're tied in with, not just the VA. And again, it can be all confidential. So they're not having to worry about that this is going to somehow trigger problems or a Baker Act or something else that's gonna perhaps ruin their life. I think people are afraid of, if I do this, is somebody going to come and take my family away from me? Are they going to take my children away from me? Am I going to lose my job? And the truth is not. It's literally a means to help somebody, to explain, help somebody understand what they're going through. They have to know that others are going through it and to help them through it.
Now, obviously, Mr. Robinson, 2020 has been a very unusual year with the worldwide pandemic. How has the pandemic affected the Brevard Veterans Resource Network?
Well, generally it's been a tough year. We're very fortunate that, there are a bunch of agencies that have come forward to support us and provide resources. And I say that because really there's been a big uptick this year in the number of people, number of veterans calling and requesting help, which, it just makes sense. This has been a stressful year for a whole bunch of reasons, but obviously one of the key ones is that there's been a lot of people who have lost their job, and I imagine there's a whole lot more people who are in real fear of losing their job, and stress wears on you. And if there are people who are already have other stresses due to PTSD or something else. It could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But this year we've had a lot of activity. There's been a significant uptick in all the phone calls and the people that we're helping. And we kind of expect that trend is going to continue. COVID seems to be getting worse. And then we're just waiting to see how the government and businesses react to that.
Well, has the Brevard Veterans Resource Network and its partners, have they been able to continue to provide the services even in these unusual times?
They have. We continue to provide services as part of the VVRN. I mentioned that you can call that the 211, but we also are continuing to put on forums. And what we do is we have a quarterly forum. We actually stopped it for, we did one the first quarter, and we didn't do one the second and third quarter. We were trying to figure out our systems. But we put one on last month, and we're going to continue to put one on. Next one's going to be in January. And the purpose of these forums, and they're going to be via video conference, and they touch on usually we have some type of theme for veterans issues, and the next theme is going to be on some of the topics that I touched on today, which is going to be veterans resources, veterans legal resources, and the various access to the veterans benefits. But we're back now. We've kind of got our systems in place, and we're going to start putting these on. And the hope is that now that we're doing them remote, that we can reach out to a significantly larger portion of the Brevard veterans population, and perhaps others, so they can gain information and network and crosstalk and just learn more about everything that's out there.
The forums are open to any member of the public?
They are. They're open to any member of the public. What we do is we advertise them. Brevard Veterans Resource Network has a Facebook page, and so does Brevard 211 and a lot of our other organizations. And so we will advertise them via Facebook. You just sign up. We get your email address, and then we will send you a link. You sign on to the link, and then you kind of listen. And so the way that forums normally work is that they start around 9:30 on the third Thursday. And we usually have 2 to 3 presenters. At the end of the presentations, we open the floor up for people to ask questions, or sometimes we have other organizations that want to come in and talk, and we give people opportunity to kind of talk and cross talk and answer each other's questions.
And when is the next forum? You said January. Do you have a specific date?
I do. It is. The next one is January 21st, beginning at 9:30.
So that would be January 21st of the new year, 2021, which hopefully is going to be a better year than 2020.
I don't think, knock on wood, it can be a worse year. I don't know how you could make this worse.
Well,
don't jinx it. but yes, the next one is January 21st. That's the third Thursday in January, and it's beginning at 9:30. So probably starting after the new year, start looking at Facebook, go to the BVRN Facebook page, go to Favard 211, and you'll see a link. And then it's just usually do it through, I think it's Evite. You just enter your name, email address, and then we send you a link.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they're listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network. One of the things that certainly you often hear about with veterans is oftentimes they are injured during the course of their service, and it's possible for them to get some sort of a disability rating so that they get benefits from the government, from the U.S. government, as a result of the disability that they sustained during their service. But that whole process sometimes seems to be very difficult, at least from my perspective. I don't know that much about it, but just over the years, I've seen that oftentimes the veteran has to fight and fight and fight to get the disability rating that he or she believes that they are entitled to. Can the Brevard Veterans Resource Network help with that process at all?
So not particularly. Part of the problem is that you have to be accredited to offer that type of advice. Now, the program that we're going to start actually at the VA will be able to help. Like I said, we're going to have an accredited attorney at the VA. There'll be a schedule, and so we'll have accredited attorneys there who can help advise, help give advice about, you know, where to go, what to do. But you are right, because the problem is multifaceted, but most of them, people don't know how to prove whatever their issue is. It's not as simple as my back hurts. And so, you know, by getting an attorney, the attorney can help direct you on what has to be proven and where they're missing stuff and what things mean. But that is something that, we can help eventually when this program is actually up and running. The BVRN can help direct veterans that have these types of questions to that. Additionally, veterans should know, and VBR can help with this as well, most of the veteran organizations, and that's Disabled American Vets, Veterans of Foreign War, well, DAV, the VFW, they have VSOs, Veteran Service Officers. And usually these are not attorneys, but these are individuals who have been accredited through the VA. They do take class, they do learn. They can help you. And most of these places will offer a VSO for free. They'll sit down there, explain to you the process, help you fill out paperwork. And so at the same time, you know, you don't always have to have an attorney, but you have to have somebody, either an attorney or a veteran service officer who is accredited. And so there are other ways, like I said, but the VBRN can't help you do it themselves. But we will help direct you to perhaps an agency or an individual who can help you.
And how about medical benefits? Presumably, for most veterans, those benefits through the Veterans Administration are essentially automatic. Is that true, or...?
Not necessarily. It's a function of, were you injured? What was the degree of your injury? How did it happen? Your income thresholds, what theaters you served in, maybe whether you were exposed to certain substances. It's actually a fairly, it can be kind of a maze of different contingencies and issues. Most veterans, though, if you had served in, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam or other wars, you would be eligible for some type of treatment. But it depends on a bunch of different factors.
And is the Brevard Veterans Resource Network able to assist veterans with that, figuring out what types of medical benefits they may be entitled to?
And again, we wouldn't do that, but we would direct you to somebody, either basically to a veteran service officer or an attorney through Brevard Legal Aid who could help advise you on what benefits you may be entitled to.
And is the Brevard Veterans Resource Network, are you always looking for new partners?
We are. Like I said, our goal is we're not the ones actually doing it. We're trying to bring together all these agencies to help out. And so we're always looking for new partners, for new people who can kind of help, you know, fill in the gaps. It's, you know, these this support, sometimes it literally is a single person who is doing it on their own. And so, or sometimes it's just limited to North County or South County. And so anytime, you know, if there's somebody out there that, you know, that has a charitable organization that would like to help, they can always reach out to us, you know, through the BBRN on our Facebook page, and somebody will get in touch with them and talk about getting them linked in with our systems.
Well, what else would you like our listeners to know about the Brevard Veterans Resource Network, Mr. Robinson?
Well, actually, what I'd like to kind of just talk about briefly is I just want to follow on. We were talking about this Brevard, this pro bono veterans clinic. And what we've done is also, as part of the BVRN, we've also partnered up with NVHS. And so if there's somebody out there who is a veteran and they do feel like they need some legal help, they can call a number. I'm going to give it to them now. It's area code 321-208-7562. And there's a lady named Casey Corson, and she is with NVHS, National Veterans Homeless Support. And they can explain to them that they heard about this program on the radio and that they're a veteran, and they explain the issue, and they'll be sent some paperwork to kind of fill out that'll help with their issue. And then we're going to try to link them up with a local attorney who will give them, if they qualify, will give them pro bono for free representation by an attorney in whatever area of law they're having a problem with.
And would that include both the civil areas of the civil portion of the law and the criminal portion of the law?
That includes just about all areas of law, you know, from civil. I mean, so civil is a very broad, but that would be family, that would be injunctions, that would be problems with evictions, that would be problems with your mortgage, creditors. I mean, the list it goes on and on and on, but these are people who are willing to help out.
How about things such as estates and wills and that sort of thing?
Well, that's one of the things we do have attorneys who want to help. We're debating whether to do it. I think last year, 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, we actually did a clinic for veterans where we helped them with, you know, many of the documents that they maybe not have, a will, a living will, powers of attorney, and we're trying to put that together again for some time in 2021.
Because those sorts of things, sometimes most everybody needs those sorts of things. I mean, if they're going into the hospital, they might need a living will to make sure that their wishes are followed.
That's correct. You know, or even just a simple will. Hey, upon my death, what happens?
Right. And want to make sure that your estate goes to the people that you want it to go to.
That's correct. And so those are some of the things that we're working on for 2021.
Anything else that you'd like our listeners to know? We've got about a minute and 20 left.
Well, you know, again, you know, one of the things we're very fortunate of in this county is just the willingness of our attorneys to help. You know, and as a veteran, I'm very honored at their willingness, and I know that I've heard a lot of attorneys explain this, and I'm always humbled by it. You know, we're very, very lucky to have great attorneys in this county, and attorneys who are willing to help. And I'm very excited about this program that we're getting off the ground, and I think it's going to do a lot of good, and I think it's going to help veterans, and veterans I think in particular need it, because many times they fall into a position where they can't get help. Their benefits keep them from getting access to Brevard Legal Aid or the public defender. And so in this way, we're going to make sure that these veterans get the help they need. And as always, what we're trying to do is to get them back in a position where they can move on with their life and hopefully, you know, heal from, you know, some of their experiences and go on and live a, you know, nice, happy, comfortable life, which they deserve.
Which they certainly deserve. And we thank them for their service, and we would encourage them, any veterans out there, not to be afraid to reach out for help. There's no shame in reaching out for help. Everybody needs help sometime. So that about wraps it up for this week's edition of Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large. We'd like to thank Scott Robinson with the Brevard Veterans Resource Network for being our guest once again. And again, we encourage any veterans who might need any kind of assistance, probably the best place for them to start would be to call 211, and hopefully they can be pointed in the right direction, linked up with services that can assist them. So thank you very much, Mr. Robinson.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to come on and talk about these great services.
Thank you for speaking with us.
And thank you all for listening.